I want to spend a couple of days this week on some of the elements of the different aspects of tabernacles, like the meaning of the palm trees. Why they're all over the, they were all over the Holy of Holies in the temple. The meaning of the booth. The meaning of the ethrog and all that kind of stuff. So today we're just going to take a look at the palm tree. So let's go to Psalm 92 first. Now Psalm 92 is called the Sabbath Psalm. What's going on, Gary?
Oh, I just...
You look like you're going, your mind is somewhere else. All right. The Psalm 92 is called the Sabbath Psalm. It's because it's read on each Sabbath, it's read more than any other psalm in the three-year cycle. And so let's start in the beginning. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness every night, upon an instrument of 10 strings, and upon the psaltery, and upon the harp, and with solemn sound. Solemn sound there, it means with deep love, is what in Hebrew is what it's saying, instead of solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph in the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not. Neither doth a fool understand this. Now, the word, you remember, the scriptures in the New Testament talk about people as brute beasts. This is the same thing. It's a brute beast from the standpoint of describing a man, or brutish here, simply means that you operate by your senses as opposed to by the spirit. And that's a wholly different subject. We could spend all day on that one. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. When the wicked or wicked one spring as the grass, and will all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall be thou exalt like the horn of a unicorn, or the horn of a ream is what it says. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eyes also shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked one, or the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like the cedar of Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. So the Sabbath psalm, every Sabbath, makes this issue of the palm tree to liken continuous believers as those that flourish like the palm tree. During the feasts, we live in booths, and the palm tree is one of the key elements of the booth. We eat the hearts of palms That's the only time it's legal to eat the heart of palms, is on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. All other times, if you eat the palm part, you will die. So it's only on the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles that you can eat the palm of the heart. I mean, the heart of the palm. And for Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the people waved palm branches. They spread their garments for him to walk and sang Psalm 118. Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Let's go to Revelation 7. We'll just see something about the picture in the book of Revelation regarding palms. In verse chapter 7, in verse 9, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto his Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. So there's something about the palms. The righteous are clothed in white linen, and they're holding palm branches in their hands. Now, let's go to 1 Kings. I'm going to show you something about the temple. 1 Kings chapter 6. This is talking about when they built the Holy of Holies. Starting in verse 21. So Solomon overlaid the house, this is talking about the Holy of Holies, within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle.
What number are you in?
Chapter 6, verse 21. So, again, starting over. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle. And he overlaid it with gold. Remember, what's the oracle?
The holy place.
No, it's the space. It's in the Holy of Holies. But it's the space under the wings of the cherubim is called the oracle. And that's where we are seated, covered by the wings of the cherubim on the mercy seat. All right? So here we go. And the whole house he overlaid with gold until he had finished all the house. And again, the house here is the Holy of Holies. And the whole altar was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. Now this is the altar of incense on the outside of the, it's in the holy place, but not in the Holy of Holies. And within the oracle he made two cherubim of olive tree, each 10 cubits high. And 5 cubits was one wing of the cherub, and 5 cubits the other wing of the cherub. From the uttermost part of the one wing unto the uttermost part of the other were 10 cubits. Now these were royal cubits, and a royal cubit is 25 inches. So this is a big cherubim.
Wow. That is big.
Yeah.
The height of one cherub was 10 cubits, and so it was of the other cherub. And he set the cherubim within the inner house, and they stretched forth the wings of the cherubim, so that the wing of one touched the one wall, and the wing of the other touched the other wall, and their wings touched one another in the midst of the house. And he overlaid the cherubim with gold. And he carved all the walls of the house round about with carved figures of cherubim and palm trees and open flowers, or opening of flowers, within and without. So now, we don't know how many, but inside the Holy of Holies, there were carved palm trees all around the Holy of Holies. So I never realized this, the number isn't described, but there, this is a pretty big place, and it's just full of palm trees. Now, in much of the Middle East, the people's lives, or very existence of men, depended on the palm tree. And the palm is a picture of our life in Him. The palm is evergreen. His leaf does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That's Psalm 1. Let's go there real quick. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, let's. What is the counsel of the ungodly? Remember the word ungodly. I don't remember what it is in Hebrew, but the word in the New Testament is asidia. It's some similar, meaning the same. And it simply means wrong thinking. Now, what is wrong thinking?
Calculating without God.
Well, it's much more, I think. Here's the closest thing we have. It says, "Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs." So it's like you don't let your mind go anywhere except speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, that's, from my perspective, that's the purpose of the mind right there. And that can only be that our minds can't do that. The mind of Christ does that. So it's just another example that we have to let go of this mystery of, we have to find the mind of Christ in us somehow. But anyway, that's not what he's talking about. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree, and it's a palm tree planted by the rivers of water, and bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, again, that's talking about the palm tree. His leaf does not wither. Now, almost, I think maybe all, but I'm not sure about that, but most of other trees are dead in the center. And the bark is on the outside, and so the sap and the life of the tree goes up just beneath the bark. That's why, you can, when you start trimming on the outside of a tree, you can kill it, because the life is in that, right beneath the bark. The palm tree is different. the life tree, the palm tree has its life hidden in the very center of the tree. And it draws light, its life, up through the center of the trunk. I don't know any other tree that does that. The outward abuse does not affect its life or quality of the fruit. As long as it has a part of the heart left to convey water from its roots to its branches, it will live and produce fruit, even though it be cut all around and mangled horribly with an axe.
So all it produces is a coconut. Is that the palm tree?
Dates.
So the main date in the Middle East, it's the dates are the coconuts don't grow on palm trees, and it's all dates in the Middle East.
Okay.
In the South Pacific, and much of the Pacific Ocean, I don't think they have date palms in the South Pacific. Any palm tree I saw when I was over there was always a coconut palm. But in Israel, they're all in the surrounding area, they're all date palms.
They have a lot of date palms in California too.
Huh?
That reminded me, in California, Palm Springs, they have a lot of date palms.
Yeah, at Castle Hot Springs, remember the entrance, when you come from to the entrance of it, there are 500 date palms on either side of the road as it goes into the main part of the resort. And it's just stunning. And the dates from that are just mind-bendingly great. It does not grow by making outside additions it does not grow by making addition to the outside of its diameter. It only grows upward year by year. Fresh joints are at the top of the palm tree. A 10-year-old tree will have as much thickness as a 100-year-old tree. Now, and this is important because it's a picture of this life in the spirit. Because going from the child to the teenager, by the time you've entered the promise, I write it to you because you've overcome the wicked one, young people, you spiritually you've reached the diameter that the tree will always be. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying? It's the palm tree also bears fruit every month. It always has on the top fruit, and the top fruit in every stage of developing, along with fresh blossoms. Let's go back. I want to look at it, compare a couple of scriptures. Go to Romans 8:35. This is about being cut up and stuff on the outside, mangled with an axe. Let's go to, verse 35 of Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of God or love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. It's funny, I have... I didn't have much pain. You know, there's a few things happened, but it wasn't constant until after I became a believer. Like yesterday, the pain was really intense. And I can't explain it. I can't. It only increased my desire for him. It didn't have anything to do with making me want to leave him. This idea that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And it's hard for me to talk about it. But let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 on the same subject. Again, this whole thing is because outward abuse does not affect the quality. In fact, it makes the fruit, the outward abuse makes the fruit better. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter, oh, I went past it. That's down verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. And the life also of Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So that's why the palm tree again. If you go out here and beat the crap out of one of these trees out here, this pecan tree, for instance, is going to die. You beat the crap out of a palm tree, and it flourishes, and the fruit is sweeter. All right. The point I'm making here is I think the palm tree is a picture of the tree of life. And let me go to one scripture that talks about it. Let's go to Revelation 22. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither the light of the sun. For the Lord giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angels to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God alone, is what it says. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. He that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Amen.
Sent. That's the only work. That's the only work. That's why we must enter his rest. That's why the Sabbath psalm we just read is so critical, because it is the psalm of the Sabbath, and we should read that psalm daily, because he is the Sabbath. We are in him, and he in us. But anyway, I've got a few more things about the palm tree, and then we'll probably go back to Luke tomorrow, and then maybe the booths or the ethrog or something the next day. We're going to put up the booth on Thursday. I put up the tent on Thursday. So anybody, we need all hands on deck if we can, okay? Any response to any of this?
It's interesting how you can pick any number of things in here. Right now we're looking at a palm tree. And the more you look at it, the more Christ reveals himself. If you go to the temple, you look at that, it's the same thing. If you go to the sacrifices, you go to whatever.
Stars.
Look at the stars. Yeah, and it's just this ever, never-ending revelation.
Of Jesus Christ. That's what this whole book should be called.
What?
But the Bible should be called the Revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's not the revelation of what's going to happen next. It's already happened. That which has been is now. That which is to be has already been.
What exactly is the definition of the Bible? I mean, I've heard Bible my whole life, but where does that word come from?
Well, it's you know, a lot of people say this is the manufacturer's handbook. Something is broken, you go in here and you see what to do about it. So we have all Julian books on Jewish and Christian books about how to do things.
The
Bible is
Hebrew, or
pardon?
Well, where did it come from?
Well, again, no, listen. To the Muslims, the Quran is the Bible. To the Mormons, the Book of Mormon is the Bible.
Hebrew, the Old Testament is the Bible. To new Christians, I mean, most Christians, the New Testament is the Bible. They only refer to the Old Testament when they find a scripture that meets what they want to teach. To a fisherman, the fisherman's handbook is a Bible. I mean, it's a Bible is just a word that means something in its context. Okay? All right. Anybody else?
All right, take a big time.